Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Growler with BD&J. Here to analyze for you today. From Growler Bed to Jay's Got Stats. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Growler Podcast.
Ah, there it is. Welcome into a special emergency pod. Jay, this is kind of like you've been called out of the bullpen to come bring the heat. Dave was the starting pitcher who gave us a nice quality start, you know, seven innings, three runs allowed, a homer. But all in all, quality performance from Dave. But look, we got to close. We didn't realize we'd have to close this game out. As soon as we posted the original starting pitcher podcast with myself and Dave, it was Joe Mixon released, Zach Moss signed. And we said, well, we got to get back in. We're not going to bring Dave back in. He's worn out. His arm's worn out. So one person was slinging heat on the internet, and I knew that it was time for us to hop in together, and that was Jay. What's up?
I'm like Ricky Vaughn. I have no idea where this thing's going. I'm just throwing stuff out there. And
somebody, I loved it. Someone chimed in and said, we need a new segment. Jay's Got Receipts.
I'm fine if people want to disagree with me and have discussions about philosophy, but don't say we don't know what we're talking about. Don't say we're making stuff up. I'm going to save that every time, and it's going to come back. And you're lucky I'm sober.
And here it is. So we're just going to talk about the Joe Mixon and Zach Moss move here. Everything else that happened on day one is up on the podcast with myself and Dave. You can go through that there. Let's focus on this move. So Bengals do release Joe Mixon, a move that we have talked about forever. We've written Pro Football Network, The Athletic. We've written pieces about the obvious nature of this, that it's something that made more sense than anything, that pretty much had to be done in a lot of ways. Zach Moss is somebody who we talked about. Oh, dinged. I think they're still dinging on my board over there, Jay. That's two. That's two for me. Yes. In our little contest. A couple of nice scores that I'll take with Geno Stone and Zach Moss on there. But this is somebody that made a ton of sense. Somebody that is in that mid-range, young player, ascending, hasn't had a ton of wear, but brought that explosiveness. All those things they said they were looking for. They get him for 2 years and $8 million. It feels like certainly the move that you expected to happen, but there's still a bit of a surprise until you actually saw that they were willing to move on from Joe Mixon, you still had that in the back of your head. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, it almost had to be that way. It's like when you fire a coach that you need to know who your replacement's going to be, or you need to have a list. You have to be prepared. You can't just make that decision once you make the call to whack a guy. And I think that was, I think that was the plan all along, was to cut Mixon, but they just didn't want to make it official. And who knows? I don't know when they actually informed Joe. I assume it was right about the same time, because that's when it all started coming out. But you had to do that. You had to make sure you had somebody in place before you pulled the trigger and made that move. And I mean, I think the Moss signing's a great one. Just, you know, like everything you pointed out on the last episode and when you picked him, but you know, he's a guy that we still aren't sure. I mean, everybody thinks Chase Brown's going to be really good in this league, but it's a small sample size. You know, if things go south, Zach Moss can be a lead back. He's proven that when Jonathan Taylor was out. And if things go the way the Bengals are hoping and they add a bunch of pieces, he's comfortable being in that support role and being a, even if it's by committee, whatever it ends up being. And he's not going to come in with the expectations of being the guy, just I wouldn't think, based on what they're paying him. So it just seems like a good fit from everything that he brings, from, you know, outlook, past production, the explosiveness, the big piece that everybody's been looking for. It made too much sense, which is why you had to wonder, would it actually happen? Would somebody swoop in and take him out from underneath the Bengals? But they got their guy.
Yeah. He was, you know, I think he was in a grouping and, you know, I mentioned, I thought Singletary,
yeah,
you know, and going to the Giants, and he was a little bit more expensive. And they end up getting Moss, who's maybe a tick down below him. But if you get him for $4 million, and that's a very look what some of these running backs were getting, right? I mean, a lot of money was being spent in the running back position today. And you end up getting somebody where you feel great about your combination of Moss and Brown as much as any of these other guys probably that were out there in terms of what you do and what you're looking to be. What I like the most about Moss is that you're talking about, he's very much in that, I'm going to believe in the next gen, okay? And I'm going to believe my eyes. Like, you watch his eyes. You watch the missed tackles he forces. You see him make the guy miss on the second level. You see that explosiveness. And then you go to the next gen stats and you see it there. It's both. It's eyes and it's the numbers. And you see the rushing yards over expectation. There were only two players available in free agency this year who ranked in the top third of the league in both the PFF elusive rating and rushing yards over expectation last year. They were Zach Moss and Derrick Henry. That's it. And you're getting that combination, and that's what they're looking for. And to get it on somebody who, what's your worry about a running back? Man, they just take so many carries and they're worn down. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have that because he's been a compliment guy. And here he's probably going to be a compliment guy too, and that's great. And so I think for that fact, that certainly is the move. The Mixon side of this is Joe Mixon for this organization was incredible for a long time. Mm-hmm. He was a big part of the culture change in Cincinnati. They you know, Zach Taylor's regime started, and one of the moves they made was giving him a long-term contract extension. And he basically saw the whole thing out almost, you know, outside of last year's pay cut. And that was, you know, for what it was, great. But this is the new era. This is the Bengals viewing things differently. They're not going to hold on to the past. They're going to see the direction they need to move and go there. They did it this time. They did the move that you had to make. The move where you really, it's hard. It's hard for people to, like, you see it now. I mean, everybody sharing their, like, Joe Mixon memories amidst Jay's carnage on the internet. but there, you see, there's an attachment to that, and people do connect themselves to that. You got to move on. You got to let go. You got to let the next group earn it. You got to find the next, you know, you got to win on the margin the next time. And it was so clear they had to do that. It was so clear. And they're going to have somebody who is more efficient, younger, better complement to what they're trying to do for half the amount of money. And I don't know how that's not an obvious move that you should be making. And I think the Bengals executed it really well.
Yeah. And I, you know, as you said, we knew this was coming. I had a story written last week about just ready to go when they cut Mixon. And I spent a lot of time talking about how good he's been for this organization. I mean, 7 straight years leading the team in rushing. I don't know how many guys have done that for teams anywhere in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, he stayed healthy. I don't know if any Bengal came into the league in a tougher circumstance than Joe Mixon did, and he won people over. There was a lot of boos when they took him. There's a lot of people fed up and upset when they drafted him. And I don't think it's hyperbole to say he was everything they wanted, expected him to be when they drafted him. He never won a rushing title. You know, he did not a lot of that top end stuff, but he was exactly what they wanted, exactly what they needed when they drafted him. And he had a hell of a run here, but Father Time comes for everybody. And, you know, it's a young man's game, especially at that position. And he is losing a step. I don't think he's washed. I think he can go somewhere in an offense that covets what he can still bring to the game. It doesn't necessarily need that explosive element. And I think he can still have two more, maybe three good years. I wouldn't be surprised to see him reunite with Marvin out in Vegas. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, you know, the fans owe him a lot. He, you know, there were some issues the last couple of years, but he was what they needed when they drafted him. And he was one of the most exciting backs to watch for a number of years.
The 2017 draft class of running backs was, you know, much ballyhooed, if you will. I mean, mm-hmm. It was a big deal. There were so many good backs. Well, Joe Mixon ends up leaving totaling more rushing yards and attempts than any of the backs from that class, where nine different running backs had at least 5,000 yards from scrimmage. And he was at the top in terms of rushing yards and attempts too. And they fed him. And that's just the other part of it. Like, you just, this isn't a league where anybody is out here hanging around with guys that have had that amount of carry. I mean, they kept giving it. It's honestly remarkable that he made it this far, but he doesn't break tackles anymore. You don't see mm-hmm. that juice to the next level. You can't win that way. This team can't win that way. And there's an acknowledgement of that. You know, I think everybody likes to make a big deal out of the controversy of, you know, because he had his whole thing with the media and he's using the clown emoji and all of this stuff. And what happened last year with the incident at his house and the one on the street and all of that stuff, like that at the end of the day was on the fringes, was periphery. Mm-hmm. To this decision. This was all about a guy that just isn't making enough people miss anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. That's what it comes down to. Football decision. This dude is not explosive enough. He doesn't make people miss enough and he costs too much money and he's only going to be, you know, getting older and having more wear on him in a league where we know what that is for running backs. And that's been the case for a while. And they're a better position now today than they were when the day started by a long shot. It clears the deck for Chase Brown to have a bigger role, and you don't have to you know, feel like you're having to appease Joe, because if Joe's there, there's an expectation of carries, right? There's an mm-hmm. expectation of usage, and when he's not, you have two guys that I think are going to be excited to be a compliment to each other. And that's going to be a big deal there too. I still think they're probably not done there, whether that's draft yeah. or another piece. I think they're still looking for the Samaje Perine role. So, but you know, for this, I think you're in a great start to reforming the running back room to turning over to where it needs to be. It feels like, I mean, it's been ages since you've thought about it this way, but this is a new start, a fresh start for them that they absolutely needed.
Yeah, and for all the stats you wrote about and you mentioned with the yards over expectation, the elusivity rating and everything that Moss brings, you got to be able to punish the light boxes when teams are playing back and defending against Burrow, throwing to Chase, throwing to Higgins. And that's another thing where Moss was putting up those explosive numbers in weeks 1 through 4 last year when – I mean, yes, the Colts had Michael Pittman and very dynamic receiver, but they had a rookie quarterback. There was a lot of light boxes that he was doing that against. And so, you know, he was able to do it against defenses that were defending against the run. And now he's going to get a chance to step in there and go against some of these light boxes. And maybe his numbers get even better.
Yeah. If you take away, I've been taking away week 18 because it was an exhibition yeah. and no one was trying. You take away week 18 and Joe Mixon was negative in rushing yards over expectation last year. Zach Moss, you know, was tied for third in most games with positive yards over expectation. 10 games. Yeah. He was over the expectation of what an average running back should get, and he had those explosive plays all over the place, all kinds of missed tackles for us. A good pickup for them that makes a ton of sense. Again, I don't think that they're done yet with the running back room, and especially the comp pick that I mentioned in the thing with Dave. Mm-hmm. I mean, it frees you up. You get that a higher pick there, where that between 97, your fourth round. Really both of those thirds, but really the 97 pick now becomes an option for running back, the fourth round and the fifth round, certainly, where that's kind of more in their running back wheelhouse. And with what you have, you're comfortable throwing another player in there if you want to use the draft. If you don't, you don't have to. They have Travion Williams coming back, but I think it really, they're freed up to take one more swing at it somehow. And that could be in the draft, basically taking another Chase Brown or not. But they're in a really nice spot with where that sits right now, I think.
Could be both. I mean, they could get another one in free agency, and then maybe they do spend a six on a running back and just throw more darts at it and see what you come up with.
I don't know how you don't. I mean, it's what else are you doing with some of those day three picks other than Right. Might as well take a shot? Maybe you find this year's Chase Brown. Maybe you find, there's so many different of these running backs that from late in the game that have popped. And so, yeah, it would make all the sense in the world. Well, wrapping a wild day. it just gets the day that keeps on going. And in fact, we're at the point now as we record, we're almost about to turn over to Tuesday, which is, I feel like the first day of free agency always has a feel like that. Thumb up. Yeah, I get the thumb up for that. So, all right. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks Jay for coming in out of the, you brought it. It was like some Mariano Rivera cutter stuff here is what it was. No, Ricky. It wasn't Ricky Karcher.
Oh, no, hope not. I mean, I hope I don't disappear into oblivion after we sign off.
That's true. No, you're signed up for next year. You're signed up. Okay. You're signed up for there again this week. We're not done this week. We had to pop the emergency off when the mix thing, and Jay's got receipts if you want to see some of his fun receipts that are up on Twitter right now. Check that out. All right, thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back. Much more coming. Just keep it locked and make sure you're subscribed on the YouTube channel, and also, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, because we'll be firing these things at you all week. Have a good one, everybody.